So I want to begin by saying that the crescendo for these first Fridays is in October here. And I've made a decision, I hope you're okay with it, but I'd like us to put our eggs in one basket to focus our energy. And on that weekend, so the weekend of October 7th, 8th, and 9th, on the 9th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. at the National Rosary Rally, which is considered like the anchor for the Rosary Coast to Coast. And if you don't know yet, Rosary Coast to Coast is just asking people from around the country to get into groups. It could be as many as, you know, two is a group, but and hopefully in public places. And at the exact same time, we all pray the glorious mysteries together. And we do that at 3 p.m. Central Time. And I'm asking everyone, if you would, is to get your groups together. Again, two or more as a group, and to schedule that for yourselves. And we're going to do that instead of gathering on Friday night because, again, I'd like to focus on that, but also it gives me a little bit more breathing room for driving out to Washington, D.C. as well. But I do think it's good for us to focus that weekend on that Rosary Coast to Coast, so I hope you're good with that. Starting in November, then, we're going to kick back up the Holy League Night of Knights. And we're going to begin by having Green Bay Packer Mike McCoy is going to come here and be our speaker that night. I'm gathering a bunch of speakers for this from November through April. Bishop Hying has agreed to be one. Doug Berry is going to be coming. So we got lots of great speakers coming. Father Bill Peckman has agreed to come. So it's going to be great, and those will be first Fridays for men, if you remember. COVID kind of derailed that for a while, and then we got together with all of our gatherings, but I want to kick that back into gear beginning November 4th. So you'll see a bunch of that in the bulletin on announcements leading up to it. All right, so yesterday I had the great fortune of being able to give the opening prayer for the prayer rally downtown, the March for Life. And I came across a prayer written by Father Frank Pavone, and he wrote it right after Roe went down on June 24th. And I want to share just part of that prayer with you now. He said this in his prayer: Lord, for five decades, your people in America have prayed, marched, educated, lobbied, and voted, seeking to end the destruction brought about by abortion and the Roe v. Wade decision. And then I looked out at that crowd with such great pride, because I saw that their many years of efforts have paid off. And I do believe we're going to head to a total pro-life country. But we do have to have profound gratitude that one of the most trusted institutions on the planet Earth, okay, it has been for many years, the Supreme Court of the United States, at one point in 1973, in essence, sanctioned abortion by the Roe v. Wade decision, so that so many went, well, you know, if it's good with the Supreme Court, it's good with me. That was reversed on June 24th, 2022, John the Baptist's birthday. The Feast of the Sacred Heart happened to land on that day. And it was my birthday too. But it's big. And there's going to be a lot of people now that are going to go, oh, the Supreme Court's not sanctioning it anymore. Okay? And so I think we're going to head very quickly into a very pro-life country. So we'll continue to pray for that. But I say that because I look out at all of you and I say the same thing. I'm so proud of you. I feel like you're like a PhD in the spiritual life. You've dug in deeply, and we together have done a lot to really explore what it means to be a child of God, what the spiritual life entails, how to pray, what are the devotions, what about our relationship with the Blessed Mother, how about things like the sacrament of confession? How about the way that we want to offer the Mass? You know, we were saying that earlier that I contend that we won't see a healing in our church, people coming back to the Most Holy Eucharist, until we put ourselves at a renewal of a restoration of the transcendent. Because then what happens? If we offer the Mass as if we really believe this is God, then we all get it. And then what happens? We turn our lives over. And we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. You know, I want to do it your way. I want to please you in every way possible. And what happens too is that we begin to see more clearly. We, yes, see what the devil's up to, but we also recognize need. And it's hard for us to pass by it, isn't it, when we see that need? Our hearts just won't let us. That's what this story about the rich man and Lazarus was about. The rich man was so engrossed in his stuff, in his wealth, that he just didn't see the need any longer. All he saw was his own selfish needs. I don't see that in you. I think we have to keep that in check. I think we have to make sure that we continue to be that way. You know, I wrote in my book, The Church Militant Field Manual, about poverty. It means to be poor. To be poor in spirit is to realize that nothing we have is worth more than the kingdom of God. Knowing this, we become willing to part with anything we have if it hinders us from receiving the kingdom. Being poor in spirit does not always mean taking vows of poverty or despising the blessings God has given us. Instead, it is a condition of the heart. The main point is always detachment. It's not that whether you have it or not, it's how you have it. So it's just something to remind ourselves about. Yes, God's blessings are wonderful. Enjoy them, really. And if you feel like, you know, you need to offer something for a need out there, and again, know that need isn't always about money or stuff. It's about what, you know, God, what have you created me to do? What are the talents that you've given me? You know, how can I help build the kingdom of God? Where is the need there that I can engage with what you have given me? And again, it's hard to preach to you. I'm giving you a big head now, I'm sorry. But it's hard to preach to you because I know you're advanced in all of this, but we need to keep it in check, don't we? And we begin to by humbling ourselves before our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist in awe and wonder, and just let him turn our lives upside down in a good way to help us to become totally and completely dedicated to pleasing God in every way. And so let's ask God to give us the heart of a child that just wants to please his parents. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.